This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
This is Behind the Rose, where Bachelor Nation meets country music and everything in between. Here's your host, Blake Horstman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Behind the Rose podcast. It is Monday night, right after the third episode of Matt James' season. I'm your host, Blake Horstman, here with my buddy, as usual, Eric Bradley. And tonight, we have special guest, good friend of mine and the podcast, Kendall Long. Thanks for joining us, Kendall.
Oh, hello. Thanks for having me yet again.
Yes, welcome yet back. Again. She's another. Yeah. That's because you did so good the first time. We brought you back for another one.
Thank you.
No, this will be fun because this episode was, wow. It's a lot going on.
I have a lot of opinions about this episode. Yeah, it was a lot of colors were shown.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I feel like we got to see sides of these women that we haven't yet.
And we also got to meet and know a couple new ones.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. Yeah, we'll get into that. Like, honestly, like Serena P, I feel like we'll get into that. We'll get into that. Yeah, we'll get into that. But yeah, so basically it picks up because the last episode ends with Sarah more or less like fainting, right? Is that what it seemed like? Like she fainted. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And from what I've heard, I mean, we know obviously, but like those rose ceremonies for you, if you guys that don't know, they last forever. And you poor women are in heels. Got to be horrible.
And we also had, I think on Paradise, Jenna fainted as well when I was there. I mean, fainting isn't a thing. It happens on these rose ceremonies. Mm-hmm. Everyone's like, you could have just waited for five more roses. It's like, that's not something you do. You're not like, I'm going to faint. I'll give it like 5 more minutes. Then like, I'm going to make an episode, but
Yeah, that's a good point actually. And actually now I think about it, Dylan almost had a full on fainted in Paradise because he was so hot right before the rose ceremony. That's right. Yeah. So you're right. It does happen. This isn't the first time. Maybe the first time on camera. Did they show Jenna on camera?
I don't know if they did actually, maybe not. It was kind of a big deal. Like she was out for a while and sorry. My dog is like really
pistachio, knock it off.
He's just like, feed me, I already fed you. But yeah, fainting is not it's not like a new thing in the Bachelor world, but I think there at least every season there has to be at least one person that faints.
Yeah. No, I'd agree. And so that's kind of what I want to get into because I think some people, it's clearly the women, thought Sarah was basically faking it and trying to get more time with Matt. Yeah. And I agree. I don't think that was the case. Like, I think she genuinely had a long day and she was like about to faint, you know?
It's a weird thing to do. It's just like, I mean, I think maybe back in like Bridgerton times, it's just like, oh, like, that's what the girl did in Bridgerton, right? She fainted.
Yeah, she did.
It's like, oh no. Like, so maybe, Bridgerton wasn't out at that point. So, I mean, like maybe she's like an extra dainty lady because of that.
I mean, if she did do it on purpose, it's not a bad move. I remember like some guy, I remember there was somebody on my season, it was so on our football date, a lot of us got hurt. Clay broke his wrist. I broke my finger and stuff. But a lot of people were like, you just did that so you could get alone time with Becca. And like, I did get a good like 15 minutes alone time with Becca when my finger broke. So it was like, you know, I was like, it actually is not a bad move.
Yeah. She wanted the alone time with you. She was like, yes, like sweet. Exactly. Like, other lame guys and like pretends to want to kiss them. Like, yeah. I mean, he would want, I think he'd normally be like, oh, let the medics handle it. But he wanted to spend time with her. So, I mean, you
That's a great point. Yeah. I think Matt is into Sarah.
They're making excuses too to see the person they want to see.
Yeah. You know? Yes.
Yeah.
We saw that several times tonight.
Yep. Hey, I was going to say, and we'll get into Sarah and Matt's relationship because you're right. Like, I think if that was any other girl, I don't know if he would have spent as much time, you know?
Yeah. He's like, I'm not a medical professional. Like, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Also, so, at the rose ceremony, what are your thoughts on Marilyn? Do you think she got shafted tonight?
Yeah. So Marilyn gets sent home. Victoria stays.
I know. Marilyn is so sweet. But it was sad because she got that orchid and that was, and you, a guy doesn't get you an orchid and is like, all right, no rose though. Like you already had your flower. So I think that like, that definitely was a deciding factor. And yeah, I don't know. What's her name? Victoria? I just don't understand it.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is probably a bit of a producer pick. Like, I think he liked Marilyn, but I mean, I think he had to pick one or the other, and I don't think the show wanted Victoria out of there. You know, I think that has something to do with it. But you're right. I think Marilyn was sweet. Like, I think she handled that situation really well. So I thought they both would stay, to be honest.
I just don't think she stood up for herself enough.
Yeah.
No, you can stand up for yourself and still not be a mean person. I think she was so focused on not being mean and doing the kind thing that she didn't like she didn't at all like tell him like how she genuinely felt. She was just like, she gave up is what it was. She was defeated. She's like,
it's actually
good. Well, like, I guess, you know, that's what she said. She wasn't even like, that's not true. This is like how I genuinely am. She was just like, that sucks.
Yeah, like, you're right. She kind of did, you know, so throw in the towel a little bit.
That maybe Victoria was right, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think how many girls went home? Like three girls went home, I think.
Well,
or was it just Marilyn?
No, there was a couple others.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. None of the others I have really had much screen time. So, so yeah, that's how it ends. You know, Victoria gets the last rose and then we go on to the next day and there is a group date. And I liked this group date a lot. Kendall, you would have crushed this group date. I feel like you're a good writer. You know, you got a book.
In your head as you were watching it, you're like, I would totally say this. Like,
no,
I
was you
like,
totally, yeah. Or,
like, yeah. I used to watch erotic fan fiction at like libraries in San Francisco. They had like this club where they would choose a story and then people would make erotic fan fictions based off of that story and you can go watch it. It's like, I love erotic fan fiction.
Interesting.
Oh. Wow.
Well, yeah. What would you have wrote, Kendall? Yeah, well,
I would have, the way I would have done it is I would have like done like a Dr. Seuss kind of thing and then made dirty rhymes. But I wouldn't have like, you know, like when they're just like, you say something else. Yeah. I would have totally I would have been a chicken and copped out of like saying something really seriously sexy. I would have just alluded to the fact of
being that I agree. I think like going overboard with it was too much, but like, having fun with it. I think rhyming actually would have been a huge hit. That would have been pretty cool, actually. I don't think anybody did that. Yeah. Who do you think had the best one? Because I was actually impressed with some of the girls. I was like, oh, like they're putting themselves out there. Like they're, you know, they're not really that as shy as I thought.
Well, what were your thoughts on Ashley's reading of the book? Like, talk about someone who is probably super uncomfortable if you know Ashley.
She also was like alluded in like dark. It's like she's I could be sexy. I can like do sexy voices when they can like see my face. It's like the eye contact that really would like put me off. But I think, what's that? I'm still learning everyone's name, but the little blonde girl who wore like that ostrich feather dress, like the first.
Kit,
is that?
I think it was Kit, right? Kit,
She was feeling herself and I was really into it. I was like, yeah, she was super cute in that. So I liked her a lot. I think she did good.
Obviously, Katie. You knew she was going to crush it. And Victoria.
Oh, Katie's. I love Kate. This episode made me love Katie so
much. Yeah, agreed.
She just agreed.
Katie had a lot of fun with it. You could tell she wasn't like, she was really confident when she was reading and she was like having fun with it and laughing and just having a blast. Some of the girls were super uncomfortable, but she seemed to, she was like in her zone. Yeah. So it was cool to see. Let's also talk about did anybody know Chris Harrison had a novel that was.
Did you know he had that
ironic in him novel?
To write that.
I had no idea. What? And it's been around for a while, I think.
I knew Chris was like, I knew Chris had like some sexiness in him. Like, of course, like, you know. He's like definitely like a suave kind of guy.
Smooth. I was just going to say smooth. Yeah.
And he has dirty humor. So like I knew. Yeah. But yeah, I was surprised. It's so funny. He has like so many ventures, you know,
he does.
Post producer. He's working with like a new rosé, a canned rosé that came out. Now he has a book. Like, he's like the Swiss Army knife man.
You know? He is. And I love that Chris was totally like, you know what? Let's get Ashley I in here to read some erotic novel. You know, this ought to be good. You know?
Yeah, girl, that was the virgin when she first came.
Yeah. Now look at her now. Reading erotic novels on national television.
Yeah, that was great. It was good.
But yeah, all in all, I felt like the girls did a pretty good job. Let's talk about Matt too. Reading his, like that little chocolate erotic. Cake. Yeah, when he's like, chocolate cake. Like he like looked deep into the
smell in the kitchen.
No, I was like, I was laughing because like he was like serious. He's just like chocolate cake, and I was like,
I didn't even crack a smile. Like,
he was smiling. It's like he was just like, this will get him. Like, I was like, I don't know if like I can't do food when it comes to like sexual things. Like, I don't like food touching my body. I'm not into like chocolate syrup, or whatever. I'm like picturing like chocolate. Eating chocolate than like I don't
like know. Actually do you actual draw, chocolate like eating
do you coffee. Draw the line at ice cubes maybe.
No, I can get with an ice cube, just because if there's no like residue of like stickiness, like my absolute biggest fear is like children's sticky smelly hands. Like, I hate like the sticky smell.
Every guy from Claire and Tayshia Season are taking notes right now. For like, what is Kendall like? What is Kendall not like?
So there's like so many other amazing women on these seasons. So
yeah, we'll see. Okay, well, we'll get into that later. So so it was kind of like there was a lot of the girls actually had were on the date, but then some of the other girls were sitting behind them and had to like listen, basically. You know, they were like the audience, if you will. And Sarah clearly is like having a really hard time throughout that date and moving on, you know, onto the night portion. She seems to just be, I don't even know how to explain it. Like, she's emotional. Like I always say, this is the mental Hunger Games. Like, eventually everybody breaks, like legitimately everybody breaks eventually. Just when is it going to happen? It seems to be happening a little earlier at this point for Sarah than most.
Seemed like all of her insecurities came out.
Yeah, which they do. Every insecurity you've ever had come out in this environment, you know?
Completely. But I also feel like she has the pressure of her family not being there for her dad as well. And I think that was the thing that overrode everything else. And the fact that, like, it was just so weird how this episode was all about getting off. I said a little bit on my story. I was like, literally getting off on being cruel. And Victoria's just like, her little digs. Mm. I'm just like, unnecessary. Mm. And it just makes you look like an awful person. Mm-hmm. Like, if she's, I think she's trying really hard, almost trying a little bit too hard to be one of the biggest villains in like Bachelor history. I bet she was like, I'm gonna be the biggest villain in Bachelor history. And she's like, I'm just gonna say, but it's just like uneducated, mean stuff. It's like, try harder. Like, just try a little harder.
Agreed. I have a feeling like Victoria's watching this back and is like, just mortified. Like, oh my God, what was I thinking? Why did I say those things? Like, I do. I think even if you go in thinking you're gonna be the villain and then you watch it, you gotta be embarrassed a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, there's gotta be a moment where she's like, oh,
she has like a sty or something. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I know. I feel bad for her there too.
It reminds me, what was that one movie where there was like a guy who he was a villain, but he kept on getting more and more injured. And he was just like, at the end of it, he was like,
oh my God, it was Something About Mary.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Something About Mary.
Oh, wow. Of course you would. Of course you would know that.
I was like, this could either flop or like they saved it.
Got
it's true. Like, she's kind of like that, where like she's getting more injured like as episodes go on. I don't know if anyone else is noticing that.
No, it totally. I agree. I had people in my DMs being like, Leala, honestly, like I feel like the environment's starting to stress on her a little bit too, because you can tell when people start to like break down.
She's like, who's next? Who's leaving next?
I just want to say, have you seen my baseball?
that's a movie. Yeah. I don't want to go watch
my
movie
mind
now.
The rest of the show.
Have you seen my baseball? I haven't seen that movie in forever. So the whole drama, basically, of the night, we go to the night portion of the group date. Sarah decides that she is going to go interrupt Matt, and at the time it was Katie. And she does. Because she's kind of, you know, she needs, I don't know exactly what she needs from him or what she's thinking, but the girls freak out. They lose their minds. They are pissed off. And then Katie kind of goes back. Anyway, we'll get into that. But like, what do you think about that? Kind of, do you think Sarah was in the right there? Was in the wrong? What do you think about that?
I think it was a controversial thing to do. I don't think she was necessarily right for interrupting their time. I think there was a lot of other times she could have done that. At the same time, it's like, there's going to be so many unexpected factors that affect you in life, and how those women handled it was just like, I mean, there's just so many other ways to handle it. It's like you can't control what comes into your life, but you can control how you react to it. And the way they reacted to it, it just didn't match. Like the reaction didn't match the action. And I think what was happening there was like a lot of insecurity in seeing a relationship work and possibly being other women who like the relationship is just not working. And so needing some kind of scapegoat to justify why the relationship isn't working or why maybe he hasn't sought time out with them. At the end of the day, there's so many women. It's just like, he's going to like who he likes and you're going to notice favorites, you know, early on.
Wow. I never really thought, I actually really agree with the fact that like, I like the idea of her being for the women, the other women, a scapegoat on why they're not, you know, as have much of a connection as the other girls as, you know, with Matt. So that's a good way to look at it, because I think what Sarah did probably wasn't the smartest thing. Like, I don't think she probably should have gone in there and interrupted the date, but I think the girl's reaction was way over the top. You know, I think it was just way over the top from the beginning, and it just continued the rest of the episode. And I also feel like Sarah, I think she seems like a really genuine person. And I think she even was like, maybe I shouldn't have done that, because you could see like, uh-oh, like these girls hate me now. You can kind of see that on her face. She's like, uh-oh, she was like crying the whole episode. It was hard to watch.
And she was saying sorry.
That's the other thing. Yeah.
She admitted, it's just like when someone admits fault and they try to grow from that and they try to mend a relationship, to cut that growth off is traumatic. Like, especially since she is going through so much that's happening at home as well. So mm-hmm.
yes.
I just thought it was so weird how she's just like, you know, I've had good conversations, and she's, and then Victoria's just like, who is she talking to?
Yes.
I mean, at that point, it's so early on. I remember conversations that I've had. I'm like, yeah, I've had good conversations, right? And if someone was just like, who are you talking about? I'd be like, screw you.
It'd be so hard.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine, like, I mean, I can't, because I have felt it in Paradise a bit. Like, I felt very alone in Paradise. I felt like everybody was talking shit, was bullying me. So in that moment, I really felt for Sarah, because I was like, she is alone. Like, there's nobody on her side right now. All those girls were just bullying her. Like, it was literally like they went around the circle and each girl said something bad to her, you know? And I was just like, in that moment, I was like, I know what that feels like. And it was just rough to watch, you know? And I think the girls went way over the top. It felt like a bully. Like, it felt like they were kicking her while she was down the whole time. While she kept trying to apologize. Like you said, she kept trying to apologize and they just weren't having it.
And the one person that is on her side is the most important person, and it's Matt.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's very much on her side.
Yeah, he liked her. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of course. And he knew, like, her whole history with her father and, like, what she had to go through to get there. And it was just weird. I think there is such thing as, like, a frenzied attack, and it's something that has to do with, like, ostracizing someone and then getting off and then building your connection with other people in order to, like, elevate yourself, like, within, like, a social setting. Like, that's a very big psychological thing that happens a lot, you know, with people. So I feel like in that, you know, people band together by hating something, and it doesn't really necessarily matter what that thing is. And in this case, unfortunately, it was Sarah. But that's what it was. They were just like, you can see like people smirk and being excited about it. Like, they were finally getting off on it.
I'm just going to say that. Getting off on it. Yeah.
Yeah. You know? And so it takes a lot to be the person that doesn't fall for that temptation. And Katie ended up talking with her. At that point, it was too late, but I had a lot of admiration for her for telling her, like, well, if you have a connection, like, you have to stay, because I don't want to be the runner up.
Yeah. I agree. And I think we'll get to the Serena date, because I do want to talk about that. But I still want to talk about this too, because Matt, before the Serena, he took her on the Serena date, he went up to Sarah. And again, I think that's to your point, where it's like, Matt didn't have to do that. If he wasn't that into Sarah, he wouldn't have done it. But he went up there, he talked to her, and that pissed her. Yeah. He, like, hugged. That was cute. Yeah. He, like, jumped on her. But I think that pissed the girls off even more, you know? And I think it was just like this snowball effect. And there, I always say, like, in this environment, sometimes, especially with women, like, you know, I mean, I'm sure you know, Kendall, women are meaner to women than they, like, women are so nasty with other women. In that environment, sometimes it's like you either bully or you be bullied in that. But, and I think that's the mentality. But like you said, like, some people, you got to be better than that. But I think all these girls fell into that trap where they're like, they felt almost like a camaraderie on coming and going for, you know, her in that moment. And it's sad to watch. It was really hard to watch. And in my recap, I said a little bit, I was like, you know, I don't think the girls knew about Sarah's father back home. Obviously, they didn't. But that's still no excuse. Like, she doesn't need to tell them for them not to bully her. You know, that's still no excuse for them to do what they did to Sarah. They basically bullied her out of the house.
It was definitely psychological warfare, you know, because Sarah is the one that probably stands out with her connection more than most of the other girls. And so it's like, oh man, she could win. Like, it's all about winning, right?
Right.
Win this thing. We got to get her out, like, get the strongest player out while we can. And we see a weakness, we're going to attack it. And in that case, like, and I said on my story as well, I was like, I want to be able to throw my boyfriend or husband into, like, a room full of Victoria's Secret models and close the door and feel completely fine.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that's a relationship I want, but it takes a great deal of confidence in yourself and confidence in your relationship in order to do that. And it's just fortunate that insecurity causes, like, cruelty in this case.
It does. It's really hard to watch. And I think, unfortunately, the saddest part about that is I think Matt was in there and then she went home, you know, and I feel bad for that whole situation. So, but yeah, I do want to get into the Serena P date, because she's a sleeper, I think, but we're going to do that right after this. All right, Kendall. So I want to talk about Serena P date, because I feel like she came out of nowhere. I feel like I didn't really know her until tonight. Yeah. It seems like her and Matt have an incredible connection. Like, it was a pretty cute date.
It was with all the donkeys.
Yeah, which I love donkeys now, by the way. They made that whole day.
Oh, I love that. I would definitely love that. But the one thing I really like about Matt is he's really good about remembering moments with people. You know, remember you the first night when you did this. And like, he makes the woman feel special by remembering like how they stood out to him, you know? And so everyone is seen as more of an individual as opposed to like, oh, I'm getting to know you in this present moment. Like, I don't really know, you know, there's so many girls, but I liked how he like pinpoints certain things. And she's like so cute the entire time. Yeah. Like, I liked her. I really do like her.
I did. And I think that's a great point about Matt. Like, I think he's doing a good job of making like each, even like each, I mean, I guess scene is the only word I can use because like what we see, you know, on what's being filmed, but like each scene, it seems like he's completely into the conversation. Like he's not thinking about anything else. He's really good. I always say as the lead, you have to kind of compartmentalize things. And I feel like he's doing a really good job of that. And with Serena, she just seems, I don't know, like he even said, you know, she just seems down to earth. Like, I think she's just like, she seems chill, laid back, kind of a lot of fun. I haven't seen her in, and I think that's why she hasn't got much screen time. Mm-hmm. She's been in zero drama. You know, and that to me is super attractive. And I think Matt always also finds that pretty attractive. So
yeah, his attentiveness is incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's very good at that.
I like that. And I think I do see a theme with the girls who have had one-on-ones. Brie was very much the same way, where she was like a silently strong woman. And I think Sarah in a lot of ways was that as well. And unfortunately this episode, she's kind of like forced into drama, but he does tend to lean towards the woman who is silently confident. And
that's, and the other one who also has that is Abigail.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Because
we haven't seen her really the last two episodes since the first night. Mm-hmm.
Which I'm very surprised about. Usually the first impression is, don't they get
usually
a date by now? Like I would have thought.
I feel like Abigail and Rachel haven't had a one-on-one yet. I'm surprised about that. They both have really good connections with him.
And since you just brought up Rachel, you kind of saw, because she really hasn't had a presence since night one either. And she got the rose tonight at the group party. Or the after party, and you're starting to see like their relationship blossoming now too, as of tonight.
I have a feeling she's going to get a one-on-one next week. I think.
Yeah, I think so. Either Abigail or Rachel will. But yeah, I was surprised because I saw her on the first episode, and I was like, oh, I want to know more about her. And then, but there were so many women in this season, especially. There's going to be more women next week. Like five other.
I know.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So, yeah. And then Heather comes on at some point, which I'm excited about.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. I forgot about that. Oh, shit. That's
So, they're just like, you know what? Let's bring in, we can't travel this year. Let's just bring in more women.
Seriously. They're just like, let's go, you know? But yeah, Serena, she's great. I'm excited to see where their relationship goes. They have cute little moments too during their date, like the turtle talk was pretty cute. And then he had turtle swim trunks on. That was pretty cool. Yeah.
And he seemed to be real receptive to when she said she's fallen in like with him, and she could see herself falling in love with him. Mm-hmm. Like they're a pretty good match.
Yeah. She might be a sleeper. She might sneak into the hometowns. You never know. I don't know. But she ended up getting the rose. So that was great. And then basically, so we ended up only having those two dates. We had the group date and a one-on-one, which is crazy.
Next was then, the date card. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. The date card comes in, and that's when they start attacking Sarah. Let's go to the conversation with Katie and Sarah. That was pretty cool, actually. Let's talk a little bit more about that, because Sarah's just at this point beat up. Like, she's black and blue. Like, she's just, you know, she's been kicked around. She's kind of by herself in that room bawling. She's got to feel so alone in that moment. And Katie comes in, and was pretty cool of her. And basically is like, I didn't like what I just saw. Like, I felt really bad about that. And Sarah then opens up about her dad. And then Katie opens about how she lost her dad. It was like a cool moment of those two. Like, you see Katie start to cry, you know, and you just see them connect. And that again, the show, for all the drama there is, those moments like that, where you're like, damn, that's so real and so genuine.
Yeah. I liked that. And it was almost one of those things where you see the movie and it's like, it's too late, you know?
Yeah.
And then you see they're like already on the ship and they're already sailing. It's like, but I loved you. Like, oh, but you could be my friend, you know? Yeah, we have a connection. I can help you. And then it's just like, near. Like, totally that moment. She's like, I've already made my decision.
Yeah.
And even when she went to go, we'll talk about that later too, her talking to Matt.
You can go there now, because that was
pretty cool. Pretty much going to that anyway.
Yeah. There's still hope that maybe she will stay. You know what I mean? Like, I saw it and she was still kind of, she's like, but I already had said that I'm leaving. And if I go back to the girls, that's even more scrutiny. And she's already in such an emotionally fragile place with her family, with her father, the scales are already tipped. You know, I don't think she expected it to be this much drama.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you guys think if like after talking with Matt, if she would have went back into the house at that point, how bad would that have been?
She might have had an ally with Katie.
Yes, I agree. I think it might have been better. I think it would have been better. Because I'm surprised too, Kendall. Like I'm surprised after the or during the conversation with Matt, she didn't change her mind.
I thought for sure she was going to go back.
Me too. Matt gave some serious affirmation. Like he was like, I like, you know, he was like, I feel like he was trying to keep her there.
Yeah,
like,
and he openly said it. He's like, I don't want you to leave.
Yeah, yeah. And she still was like, no, I made up my mind. I got to go home, which I get. Her father at home, like, I don't blame her at all, you know? But I think if she would have gone back into the house, actually, she would have been, I think Katie would have really stuck up for her. And I think then maybe she would have told the girls her about story. Her. Yeah. And then they would have felt like total bitches, you know? They would have felt horrible. So I think she would have been okay. But I think she made the right decision by going home.
Yeah, I do. And Katie did say it. She said, if I can get even minutes, you know, with my dad, I would. So God, I think,
such a good point.
You know, at what point is it worth it to be on like this show experience if someone that you love is dying and passing away? And she also quit her job in order to be with her father. So like this, I'm saying it's like the
equivalent to be a caretaker.
Yeah, exactly. So she is needed, you know. Mm-hmm. Something that she wants that fulfills her and she wants to be with her family. So yeah, and I'm curious if she will come back.
And this is totally off topic, but I can totally relate to that situation because I have a lot of issues with my mom and I'm like a caretaker like for her a lot of the time. And that is the hardest thing in the world to deal with, like when it's your parents, because they're your heroes. Yeah. As you grow up, you look up to them, the strongest people you know. And then to see them struggle and it's like, you can't do anything for them, but to be there in those moments.
Yeah.
Like the one, yeah. Like, point. Yeah. Time is
everything.
It's short. So
I think even Katie saying, if I could go back and have 1 minute with my dad, I would, or whatever, you know, like, I think maybe even then Sarah was like, oh gosh, you're right. Like, what am I doing here? Kind of move, you know, feel. Yeah. So, and even if it wasn't for Sarah's, you know, father back home, like some people just in general, that environment is really hard for. Like, and so you can't blame anybody who just wants to leave because that environment can be super hard. You're literally dating somebody who's dating your friends. You know, it's not an easy thing.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, I don't want to talk too much about it, but I remember Katie Moe had a really hard time down in Paradise just because it's hard. Like, it's a really hard. And so, you know, no matter what, even without, you know, her home, you know, situation, I wouldn't blame her for leaving. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I feel bad though, because I think they had a really good connection and that sucks for both of them.
I think she for sure probably would have made it very far. And if they were advancing the way they were, maybe they could have ended up together, which is.
I agree.
You know?
I agree. I thought Matt was good. We haven't seen Matt break yet. I thought Matt might, you know, kind of break tonight, but he didn't. And that, by the way, I think he handled that situation phenomenally. Like, I think the way he said goodbye and the way he was like, I'm going to pray for you and your father and your family. I won't stop praying for you. Like that, he handled that amazing. It was great.
He has handled every situation perfectly so far. And he's been dealt a little, quite a bit so far.
It's surprising because we haven't seen anything of him before this. So, you know, it's almost like the original Bachelor times when they had a new bachelor, you know, come in.
It just wasn't like just recircled cast.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting to see that. And then to have him handle it. So I almost feel like maybe it's because he hasn't been tainted by the show yet. You know, all of us who've been on the show, we've been so tainted. Totally.
That's what I said the other night. I was like, I don't want Abigail to get jaded by the show because she's so sweet right now. She's just going to get jaded and pissed off like all of us now.
Yeah. We love it, but we hate it. We're resentful, but we'll do it again. Drag me in. Like, maybe I would never do it again.
That's funny. But I do want to get in because you're right. Like, Matt's handled everything he's been dealt so far. But I want to get into with a preview because that looks wild. He looks like he's going to get dealt a crazy hand. So I want to get into the preview and then I'll do some fan questions with you, Kendall, right after this. All right. So the preview looks like four or five new girls, right? Four or five new girls come in, which is random. Like, that seems so random to me. Why? Why?
I don't know. It was already the season that had the most women, right?
Exactly.
And like, now let's bring in more women, you know?
Yeah. It almost seems like as many girls that have left are now going to re-enter the house.
Legitimately. Like, he's going to have to, like, 10 girls go next week. Like, it's going to be weird.
Excuses to get rid of, like, a lot of these girls. Can we just, like bring some new ones? Like, maybe that's
what. Well, and that's what I was going to say. Sometimes, so, obviously, with Tayshia, I get it. New bachelorette, new guys. But the only reason I would see to bring in new girls is if the producers backstage are like, or behind the scenes, like, oh shit, Matt has zero connection with any of these girls. Let's bring in. But he does. Like, I think he does have.
There's clearly four or five girls that he does have legit connections with.
Yeah. So I don't get the reason why the producers would bring new girls in, but unless it's just purely drama. Like, it's just purely they want to see some fights.
I just can't wait to see who the lady of the night is.
Yeah.
I've been curious of this since the previews of the season.
One thing I have fear about is I don't want people to all of a sudden like attack somebody because of what their profession is or their chosen profession. Mm-hmm. You know, I have friends who have done stuff like that. And I don't think I'm just not looking forward to like opening up, like attacking that, you know, and in a world where women are already attacked for so many things, like in their sexuality, it's just like, I do hope that The Bachelor approaches it in a way that isn't like, if you do that, like you're a bad person and you're a hoe.
I'm scared. You know? That's what it's going to be though. I think it's gonna be a lot of slut shaming, a lot of like sex negative, you know, and it's not, I got slut shamed on national television. It is not fucking fun. You know, it is not fun. And I hope, I just hope it's not too bad. And I think it's going to be from the preview anyway. Oof.
Yeah. The hyenas are out, you know?
Yeah, exactly. They got them riled up and now and oof.
Yeah, they just have a kill and they're like, another.
They tasted blood.
God forbid. It's just like, yeah, you know, I mean, however women feel like they want to express their sexuality, like good for them and men, you know? Mm-hmm. And if anything, I hope it starts the conversation like in a positive direction as opposed to let's just like judge someone based off of like how they like feed their family or how they survive. Like, how do you pay rent? Like, let's judge you on it. So I don't know. Like, I'm just like, I hope that we can take the higher road in this. Like, we're good people, right? Have we evolved that far yet?
We'll find out. I don't think we have. I wish we have, but you're right. Like, hopefully hopefully it becomes a conversation. Yeah. Hopefully it becomes a conversation around it instead of just like slut shaming and sex shaming and all that kind of stuff. But, or maybe it's just previews. Maybe it's been edited this way and it's all a bunch of hoopla. You know, you never know with the show. So yeah. You never know. Awesome. Well, yeah. So let's get into some questions for you, Kendall, because we got a few here. One I got here, this is a great question and probably one, I don't know if you've been asked this or not, but one about your book. What is one of your favorite questions out of your book? What is one that's like different, you know, that like nobody would think of, but you really enjoy?
It depends who I'm asking. You know, I think different questions are for different people. And like, I'm curious about different things. Trying to think. There was one that actually I was talking with my friends today and actually started a really good conversation. And we asked, when was the first time someone broke your trust?
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh.
That is a good one. I'd have to think way back, I feel like, you know, like the very first time.
Ooh. Yeah.
That's a good one. That is a good one. By the way, I got it. Yeah, I bought it. I have it. I've looked through it a couple times and there is some really cool questions. Like, cause sometimes I feel like I'm going to like, one day I'm going to whip this out at a date and be like, listen, okay. Like let's if you stall out, you know, be like, okay.
That's what I would do. That's how it started. I bring it on my dates.
That's right. I remember
like,
that.
What advice would you give your child about love? Like, you know, like that's a cool question.
Children, they're so pure, you know, and I feel like love is such a daunting thing. And I think I was actually just talking to my friends today about how love could, it shapes a lot of who you are, like based on what kind of relationships you're in. It brings out different sides of you and you learn more about yourself in that way. So it's exciting to like, their minds are so malleable, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good point. Yeah.
So I have a pretty good question that both of you guys can address this after tonight's episode. Do you think you can avoid the cattiness with having like a minimum age for the show?
I don't think you can. I think no matter what, there's going to be cattiness, no matter the age. Honestly, Kit's the youngest and I don't think she had a couple lines tonight that were a little mean, but I don't think she's been that bad. So I don't think it's the age. I just think when you get a lot of women together like that, high stress situation, there's going to be one or two, I don't know, like ringleaders. And I think that this is going to happen no matter what, I personally.
Yeah. And Victoria, she I don't know how old she is, actually. I wasn't paying attention to her age, but she's not, she's probably one of the cattiest ones, and she's definitely not the youngest one there.
No.
So, and I also, on our season of The Bachelor, Becca Martinez was one of the youngest, and she was also one of the more mature. Yep. So I don't know if it has anything to do with age. I do think experience helps a lot with handling those situations, and younger women and men don't have like a lot of experience. You know, like when you're in a fight and you're like, oh man, next time I was going to say this, like you think of like what you could have said after the fact.
Oh, I do all the
that
time.
So much.
You go through enough of that and you're like, and then you go and you're in a fight and you're like, I'm bringing it out right now. Like, you know, so I think it's just like experience in that sense. Like, yeah, for me, I think it's relatively easy to stay out of the drama. You know, I don't know. I felt like it was.
No, I actually agree. Like, I think it's not that hard to stay out of the drama unless you want to be in it. Like, if you want to be in it, you'd throw your two cents in or you'd go and hang out with that group. But if you're like, I don't want to be part of this, you don't have, like, the producers aren't like, you have to talk, you know? Like, it's not like that.
No, I mean, Ari was like, there's this one girl, Crystal said, like, if I wasn't ready for marriage, like, I didn't approach it just like, how dare she? She's blah, blah. I was just like, that's funny. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I was like, okay. And he was just like, all right. And I was like, that's interesting that she thinks that. you can like deflect, you know, there's ways to like not put energy into it. Cause when you put energy into something, you get like that much energy back. Yep. And if you don't put energy into it, you're like, meh. Yeah. Yep. You know?
Smile and nod, keep it moving.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 100%. And I think if you have a genuine connection with the lead, it's, you know, you'll stay out of the drama. Like, there's no point in me drama. But I think some girls and guys, for that case, are like, don't have a connection with the lead. And they're like, I'm bored. Let's start the drama. Or I'm going to get screen time. Let's start the drama. Mm-hmm. You know? So I think that also plays into it.
Yeah. Victoria's like gung-ho for paradise, for sure.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For like, sure.
That's her goal. She's like, I know he's not going to choose me, but.
Yeah, exactly.
He's going to turn that upside down.
Yeah. I hope she doesn't go on it. Can we just do a boycott? Can we do a boycott club where we just don't let her go on?
I hope she gets a redemption, maybe, like, unless she doesn't regret any of this. I don't know.
I'm curious to see how our interviews go.
I'm mm-hmm. curious to see the women tell all too this season.
Oh yeah. Ooh.
Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, and I feel like that's probably filming soon. Ooh.
Probably
gotta be really soon.
So I'll try to figure out.
Yes. Yeah. Oof. It's gonna be interesting. Yeah. Cool. I got, you know, honestly, all the other questions you've answered 1,000 times, a couple about Joe, a couple about paradise. Here's one we could talk about, because we talked about it a little bit with Tia. What's your thought on, like, you know, plus size women in Bachelor Nation and men for that case? I hate when they just say women, but like men too.
Yeah, same. I want to hear about the men. Right? I mean, I'm a bigger guy.
Yeah.
I was actually talking with my girlfriends about that, because we were watching the show and they had brought up that point, you know? Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're getting into a place with Bachelor where there's more and more different types of people. You know, we have like hearing differences, we have, you know, people of different races going on. And so I think it's a matter of time before that opens up. Unfortunately, it's a very shallow world. The Bachelor is very shallow. I mean, you know, it's just kind of what it is. And I feel like eventually that's something that's going to stop being like as much of like a, I don't know. I mean, I think right now there's like so much celebration and differences that I would hope that we continue in that direction. You know what I mean? Like, because there are people that would comment on my page too and be like, I'm not represented. Like, I feel like I'm not represented, you know, and you want to see yourself in the stories of people who are on the show.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point. Yeah. That's a great point, because you're right. We're headed that way. And I don't see any reason why that would change necessarily. Like, I think hopefully maybe in a couple of years we'll have. See, but I also feel like it's hard. Like, okay, Luke Parker, granted, he didn't do very well on the show, but he wasn't even that short. I bet he's 5'10". And that dude got murdered online for being short. So it's like, while I think it would be a good thing to have body diversity and everything, I wouldn't want it to be just like the token, you know, large person. Because I feel like, unfortunately, like you said, our world's very shallow and they would get torn apart, you know? So I don't know. It's hard. I hope they can move that eventually where there's like multiple, you know, larger men and women on the show, but we'll see. I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, I think right now I think it's always exciting to see, like with Claire, she was one of the oldest bachelorettes, and that was something people were excited for. Like anything, there's something different, you know? And I think it's like, be different, like what, dare to be different. Like, you know, and I think that story will speak for itself and people will want to see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hope you got any more questions, Eric? No, I'm going to ask a question. I got to ask it, the paradise question. I mean, is that anything you've, I know we talked about it on our regular episode, but is that something you've, you know, kind of thought about some more?
Yeah. I mean, at this point, there's been so many other seasons of The Bachelor and all, there's like so many cast members, you know what I mean?
I
mean, and
you think about it. Yeah.
Yeah. There's just so many people. So in my mind, I'm not like waiting for the call, you know what I mean? but yeah, I mean, there's so many other stories that I feel like I had my chance to go on Paradise and to fall in love and to explore a relationship off of that. And I think it's an amazing experience. I personally would just do it to get rid of my phone again. That's
so true.
Yeah. Take the phone. I'm like, good riddance, take my phone for like a couple months. But I don't know, like at this point in my life, I'm not really, it's not like on the forefront of like my priorities, you know, we need to look after.
Pistachio. I'll look after him while you're on Paradise. He's so cute. Yeah,
you're not like, as if like, they call you and you're going to be like, no.
Nope.
Last time. Yeah, right. Like,
but again, that same thing. There's going to be two groups of guys. I don't think I'm going to get the call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of people.
Exactly. Like you said, I think that's a good way to put it. Like, I'm not like, I don't know, depending on it or waiting. You know what I mean? Like, still living my life. Yeah.
Because then you're like, I got to stay single.
Yeah, get him.
Hey, weenie.
Yeah, I think he's telling you to get out and get on there.
It's like, weenie needs a daddy.
That's what he's saying. He's like, go to paradise.
Yeah, I don't know. Also, it's one of those, it's interesting because there's so many different kinds of people that have been on these seasons. So I'm just interested to see their stories fold out and see like, you know, how
we still got a lot to do, you know, this season, like you said, then another Bachelorette season. It's pretty crazy to think all four seasons before Paradise.
Another Bachelorette season and then Paradise.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. It's crazy, right?
They got to catch up. Get back crazy, on schedule.
Yeah.
We have two Paradises.
Yeah, two Paradise. Yeah, exactly. Honestly, and they're talking, I saw somewhere they're talking about maybe extending season, like doing like a, you know, like a 2-month Paradise and stuff. So I don't know.
And then would they do Winter Games too?
No, I don't think so.
That was the fun one.
I know.
Like, I feel like I would do that because there's not pressure to be in a relationship on Winter Games or Summer Games, you know? Like, I would love to play sports.
Yeah, I would do Summer Games 1,000% compared to Paradise.
Like, I love sports. I was in cross country and track in college. I would love to compete again.
Kendall's an athlete.
Yeah, athlete.
Well, awesome, Kendall. Thanks for coming on. Where can people buy your book? Let's talk about your book. It's Just Curious, A Notebook of Questions by Kendall Long. So where can people find that?
It's on Amazon. Also on my website, kendalllong.com. There are links to that. And that's where it is.
Awesome. And then your at is just, what's your at again? Is it just Kendall?
It's Kendall Long.
Yeah, Kendall Long. Yeah, so go check her out, guys. Go buy her book.
ITS.
Yeah,
Kendall Long.
It's Kendall Long, yeah. So go buy her book, go check her out, go follow her, all that fun stuff. And thanks for coming on, Kendall. That was fun.
Yes, thank you so much.
You always have really good insight. I feel like you're just so well spoken.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Be sure to follow our Instagram at Behind the Rose Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, comment, like, and give us all 5 of those damn stars. Behind the Rose is recorded on site at the world famous Grizzly Rose or wherever we happen to be. See you next time, Behind the Rose.